Good morning, Jerry.
Well, good morning, Brother John. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Downing some Java juice here. Boy, you and me both. Yeah, I just listened to an old Green Day concert. Really good one.
You're jump, 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 huh?
Jump, jump, jump. Yeah, I love feeling dirty. That one. Yeah. I love feeling pain. I love when you hurt me. I'm your dominator love slave boy. Whatever. Mm. Yeah, that was a little love song to you.
Ooh, thank you.
Mm. All right, we got a lot of fun to have today.
You know, yes.
I'm trying to find my show notes. Where in the hell did I put my show notes? Any clues?
Your call.
Yeah, that's probably my problem, right? Yeah, I'll find them here in a second.
Trying to be nice.
You're trying to be nice. How's that working?
I'm good. I'm giving it my best shot. Well, could be better.
Okay, well, let's get it better. Oh, found my show notes. Gonna put them up. All right, boom. Oh, that's almost exciting. Hey, yeah, so now I have my show notes. A spoiler alert, I will just say up front, right? Okay, John? Spoiler alert, one of the brothers in the Bro Show may or may not spoil a movie for you. And that movie is called, what's it called, John?
Well, there's two different titles.
Don't start that. Don't start that pedantic bullshit.
Okay.
Come on. Don't make me hurt you when you hurt me.
Secret, the secret in their eyes.
Thank you. Very good. So we are going to muck about with that movie. I feel sorry for that movie, but, you know, we're still going to do it. And we're going to spoil it for you, possibly one of the brothers. And I'm not going to say who. Anything to add to that, John?
No, I think you've pretty well told the story.
All right, well, then let's talk about the weather, because we're Daniels, and that's what we do.
Yeah. That's our life.
Or as Rose would say, that's how we do.
Mm-hmm.
She's very funny. That's my daughter. Your niece, I might point out.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. I almost forgot.
Yeah, I know. That's the way you
need
built.
To be reminded.
What's the weather like in that godforsaken wilderness called Chicago?
67, probably get up to 75, cloudy, chance of rain. Yeah, it's going to be off and on rain, but it'll be okay.
Well, add 10 degrees to that, and that's what we got. And we never know if it's going to rain or not. I don't think it will, but it is threatening, and it's very humid. Oh, what shirt? What shirt you got on, buddy?
I got the original black. Black. I got black is black.
I want my baby back. Okay. I'm Clark Street today. April 21st. Yep. April 21st. I got the blue. Blue. I got the blue on, and it's looking good, bro. It's that extra one you had, that large one.
Yeah.
Extra large. The sleeves come down to my elbows. But you know what? I've been told I look pretty fucking good in this. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I looked at the picture, which I'm including in this show notes. I think I look like shit. But you know what? I got this deciphered for me. Betsy, a neighbor here who's a nurse, I said, Betsy, people are telling me I look so good. What the hell is up with that? And she said, they just can't believe you're alive.
Yeah, sometimes that's the way it works.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. In fact, sometimes when they'll ask you, how do you feel? Then you'll start talking about it, and then they'll just kind of interrupt you and say, well, you look good. that means that you can stop saying
because I'm not listening.
Because I really don't care whether you feel good or not, and that's the way I'm going to tell you this, and by just saying, you look good.
Wow. Talk about, what is that, something with faint praise? Right, something with faint.
Faint if you listen real hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
If you listen real hard, you'll hear it. The praise.
Yeah, it is faint, isn't it? I agree with you. That's kind of like the response to the show, possibly. But anyways, fuck them. If you want one of these shirts, wonderful shirts like my brother and I wear, I'd say every day.
Yeah.
By now.
I can do it, and I can change them every day, and I'll have one for every day of the week, practically.
And that, my friends, is the way you want to live. Mm. And the URL, the link, if you will, to the place where you can buy one of these shirts is shirt.bro.show. Now people say, Jerry, what if I leave the R off of shirt? Will shit.bro.show work? Because a lot of people refer to, you know, merchandise as right. shit.
And it can be a positive indication.
It can be totally positive. And, you know, shit is one of the topics you and I talk about every day. So,
yes, it is.
So, yes, you can. You can type shit.bro.show and you will go to the same place as if you type shirt.bro.show and hit return in the URL field of your browser of your choice on the device and operating system of your choice. It will work every time. And you can get yourself a fine t-shirt with the ultra fine Miss Anya on the back of it, drinking a beer through a catheter. Yeah, think about that.
That's a craft beer, by the way. That's not
a craft beer. You shouldn't say that. That's the alehouse.
Craft beer.
Oh,
it's no craft on cheese. Tap.
Is made with Kraft cheese? You Kraft American cheese or
C,
what?
With a C.
Oh. Kraft. Mm. I see. Oh, okay. So they're handcrafted beers. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's the way it works. You've got to work at it with your hands. It's hard work.
Wow, I guess so. Is it like Superman where he takes that lump of coal and squeezes it really hard and makes it into a diamond? They take hops and mash and all that shit.
Barley,
and they put it in their hands and they squeeze it in their hands and it comes out beer?
Like it Superman? Does. It's got something in between, like a dortmort or whatever it's called. The mix, the mash.
The mash.
Do it. The mash.
The monster mash. Yeah. It was a graveyard smash. All right, here we go. So we got sponsors, John.
We do.
B-Cycle of Austin. That's the wonderful bike sharing program we have here in Austin. And you've got one, John. What's it called?
Divvy, as in divide, divvy up.
Like it. Of Chicago.
Of Chicago.
You're 6,000 strong bicycles.
Yes, 600 stations and about 6,000 bikes.
We're about 600 bikes in about 60 stations.
Yeah.
Or one-tenth the size of you guys.
But I think both programs are very successful. But I can't talk about them. I'm sorry.
We can't talk about them.
Producer. Sorry,
can't talk about them. Fucking producer won't let us talk about the sponsors until we get to the sponsor read.
Yes.
A lot of rules. A lot of rules here.
Mm.
Okay, follow-up. FIFA.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's all over France. The French won. And the whole thing, Europe, they defeated Croatia. I couldn't get into it at that point. I don't know if I was just...
We lost all our favorites, John.
That's exactly it. I mean, we had some favorites at the beginning. We kept changing them. Finally, you get down to the point and say, you know what?
Favorite fatigue.
Favorites.
Favorite fatigue. And your first favorite, our first favorite, was what, John?
Iceland.
Iceberg lettuce. That's correct.
Yes.
Iceland. And our second favorite was?
That you're going to have to remind me of.
Mexico.
Oh, yes. We feel they're kind of an underdog in so many ways.
And abused by certain people in the White House.
Who will remain nameless.
Oh, man. Don't get me started, please.
That's our next favorite.
Have some diversion here? I think you had one and I had one, maybe.
I think Croatia was in there.
Belgium was my third.
Okay.
Remember? Next to Holland.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But and then, the thing is that I think one of the things that's come out of this is that, you know, the ones who sponsor soccer here, there, whatever, realize that there could be a kind of remaining interest. So one of the things I've noticed is that ESPN has come up with a TV show called Premier Morning.
Ooh, that sounds perfect for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Premier League.
Premier League, so whether Premier be Germany, Spain, England, this gives you an idea to get to continue your appetite, and I think that's real good, and maybe that interest will continue because before we know it, qualifiers are going
to
be out there.
Yes,
and the
it's
U.S.
Time
is
to start.
Going to get a chance. Yeah,
it's time to start. Get off your ass, U.S.
Yeah.
If you don't, we're just going to root for Mexico. Or Canada.
Why not?
Right,
I agree.
Yeah,
we gotta get started now. It's
yeah, Yeah, no controversies, just good old-fashioned soccer, you know. Hey, what's that sport? Is it rugby, the one where the guys from New Zealand, the Blacks, is it called? Or the Blacks?
Yeah, the All Blacks.
Those guys are incredible. God, could we get that going in the U.S.? I'd like that. I'd like just to see that beginning. You know, I watch those.
There's
I've
a lot of that. There's
50 of those.
Here in Chicago, there's a lot of rugby teams that are, you know, but the problem, I don't know. It's pretty close to football. It's got the best of all variety of sports, soccer.
It's very close to American football.
Football, yeah. But you know what? I like the idea. These guys aren't, you know, all padded up so you don't know what they look like. You can see them.
Uh-oh.
And great athletes.
Mm. Really? You like looking at these guys in their tight little uniforms?
Actually, I prefer to watch them on Mondays after they do their matches when they don't even have their uniforms on. When they're in the sauna.
They're in the therapy pool, right.
Therapy pool, come on. Let's keep it above board.
Ooh. This is so funny. Okay, I'm going to pass all this juicy stuff up and keep moving here. We've got another item here that's very important to both of us, and that's Joffrey the giraffe.
Oh, this poor.
Joffrey. I said that when I was a kid.
Joffrey
the
giraffe.
It's Joffrey.
Toys R Us is, you know, is still looking for a job. Actually, we think the job is there, but until the lawyers sort out the intellectual property issues of Joffrey the giraffe, he needs to have something to do. He needs a livelihood. So, in the interim. Mm-hmm. Joffrey has found his way into the professional wrestling. and he was involved in a rumble.
A rumble
where 30 wrestlers get into a ring and one remains standing. And Joffrey all of a sudden makes his appearance, gets into the ring. And I'll tell you, this is not what you call an amateur wrestling giraffe. This is one who's got some pretty slick moves.
Really?
So Joffrey was able to give a one of those clothesline chokes on one of the wrestlers and did a couple other fast moves. But unfortunately, what happens is that Joffrey, one of the wrestlers, calls up Amazon during the match and gets a box from Amazon. And poor Joffrey ends up getting hit with the box and goes over the top ring and, as a result, is eliminated from the Rumble match. But the good news is
was Amazon a sponsor?
Well, no. I think the idea being that they're trying to point out that one of the reasons Toys R Us has kind of hit the skids is they didn't really catch on to the fact that there's internet out there. They were more, you know, in the store experience, and that was met to their demise. I think they're just kind of giving Joffrey a hard time, saying, "Look." And I don't want to use some of the profanity that was in the ring. Yeah, they called Joffrey some pretty bad names and said, "Look, you, take this Amazon box," and then hit him.
Oh, man, that is so cruel.
You're adding insult to injury. It was very bad.
Yeah, assault in the wound, et cetera. You know, he's got a lot of vulnerabilities. I think he's got a long neck, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's it. I mean, a chokehold on him. I mean, you don't have enough hands
to put around his neck. You need five guys to choke him. But I'm thinking, like, you know, a blow to the neck would be pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, this could be critical.
Choke punches? You know, those...
Very bad. Very bad.
Mm. Oh, this is all sad news about Joffrey.
But we're going to continue looking on and hoping that things are resolved so that Joffrey can meet his mission in life, which is to advocate that giraffes continue to be a viable species out there. And so he's looking to get a job, land in the San Antonio Zoo. And we're hoping that within the near future that we can make another follow-up announcement that is a little bit better than
with
poor Joffrey.
With a pilgrimage by moi.
It would be so nice. I'm looking forward to that.
I can pilgrim down there.
Yeah, that's right. It's only about 90 miles. You can do it.
I could do it now. Here's something for you, John. I think you'll like this. Little history. The history would be that this has happened before when the Lone Ranger, with those thrilling days of yesteryear, went off the air. Clayton Moore wanted to make, the actor who played him, wanted to make appearances as the Lone Ranger. He was forbidden to do so. And he found a workaround finally. Bottom line, he was not allowed to wear the mask, which is, of course, the signature piece of wardrobe the Lone Ranger. So what did he do? Wraparound sunglasses.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's hear it for the 90s and the 80s.
Hey, that works because it just kind of...
Jeffrey, it makes it more contemporary.
Yeah, Jeffrey could probably find a way, maybe a shorter neck or something.
Maybe he could be... We have long neck deer here, so maybe he could be one of those. If he's going to be in San Antonio, that might work out for him.
That could work out very well.
Yeah, they do the same thing that giraffes do. They eat the top leaves of bushes.
Yep, that poor animal. I feel so sorry because he's running out of those treetops, and he needs to get on with his life.
Yeah.
So hopefully that works
out. I'm upset about it. What about Kavanaugh? What's going on with this guy? Supreme Court nominee, right?
That the Senate Judiciary Committee is getting ready to kind of take a hard look and wants to collect as much information as they can. Now, last time we reported that, we feel that there's kind of a little Achilles heel that poor Honorable Justice Kavanaugh has.
Addiction.
That is that he spent anywhere from $60,000 to $200,000 on season tickets for the Washington National Baseball Club there in D.C. And the thing is that was covered up because all of a sudden a friend takes and eliminates that debt. But the fact is that it's out there. Everybody knows about it.
And who eliminated it? That's one of the questions, right?
That is. So that'll all come up in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. But here's a little thing that's happened in the interim that is starting to lead towards that baseball addiction.
Uh-oh.
The fact is that Brett Kavanaugh worked for George W. Bush for about 4 or 5 years. In fact, and what happened is that the Senate Judiciary Committee has asked for a humongous amount of documentation for those specific years. And just let's remember that George W. took his second job.
Yes, he did.
He desired to be the commissioner of baseball. He was president of the Texas Rangers.
Yep.
If you ask George, he said, George, what's the biggest mistake you ever did in your life? He will tell you trading Sammy Sosa was it because he was originally a Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
And so all that stuff. And so I think what's going to happen is if they take a close look at that documentation, they're going to find that Brett and George W. spent a fair number of days out there at the ballpark. And they're going to find a lot of scorecards in that documentation. They're going to find ticket stubs, receipts from suites, all this.
Wow.
And they're going to say,
Mr.
Kavanaugh, are you a baseball addict? Will unfortunately come out. This is something I'm predicting. I know I'm connecting dots that are a little bit far apart, but those dots are getting closer each week as this story unfolds.
I agree with you for once. I think you're right. And this is a pop quiz question for the kids at home. George W. Bush, what does the W stand for? A lot of people don't know that.
Hmm.
Do you know what it is, John?
Winner?
No.
Oh.
The W stands for, what do you think of me now?
I don't know.
That's what it stands for. Don't start playing who's on first with me. The W stands for, what do you think of me now?
Oh, I get it now. I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people used to hate this guy. And now people are looking back fondly upon him. They thought he was stupid. No.
Oh, you know what?
Not anymore.
I thought it meant what? Me worry?
Well, that's what it used to mean. That's what it used to mean, but it got upgraded.
Oh.
It got upgraded this year. What do you think of me now? Yeah. Okay.
Good.
We'll just. Yeah. Yeah. Bill Broder. We talked about Bill Broder almost a year ago.
I almost forgot good old Bill.
Billy Boy, a personal friend of mine. Bill Browder, if you don't recall, is the guy who is mostly responsible for the Magnitsky Act, which is the act that freezes oligarch money and Putin money all over the world. And you like that, huh?
Poopin', yeah. Putin,
excuse
me. Oh,
no, Putin. Yeah, women don't fart, they poot. Okay. So Pooty Poot's money is scattered God knows where, but there's $250 billion worth of it floating around, and he can't get his little fingers on it because it's all frozen, and he's unhappy about that. It's frozen because of Bill Browder, and that's why he hates his guts. And just this week, wanted to trade, talk about baseball, he wanted to trade some of his GRU guys that the U.S. wants to question with regard to an indictment of their guiltiness in interfering with our elections, or as some people like to say, meddling with our erections. Bad stuff, but now there's a swap, and President Trump thought that it was an incredible offer that Mr. Pooty Poot is willing to trade some of these guys, including, see, this is a great part too, neither Putin nor Trump knew that Bill Browder is not even a citizen of the United States. He's a citizen of the United Kingdom. He was born in the United States, but I think for financial gain and other reasons and ideological differences, he went to the UK, gave up his US citizenship, and became a subject of the Queen.
Wow.
I know, pretty exciting, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I think that Trump ought to be very careful about.
These people can't get coverage like this anywhere else, by the way.
I think I know a little bit about these trades, and what we got to be careful about here is that Putin is going to, you know, it's going to be like eight for eight or something like that. Oh. And you know what Putin's going to say? He's going to say, well, some of my eight are going to be players to be named later. And that's going to be a problem.
Is it? First of all, it's 11.
He's
going to
sneak that in.
First of all,
whatever
it's
the number is.
He's going to sneak.
What he's going to try to do is not name some of the guys that he's going to give us.
Well, Mr. Art of the Deal probably won't even notice.
That's it. I mean, he's going to fall for it. I can feel it.
Oh, feel it. I can smell it. My God, man. That was something else. And I'm not going to talk about it, though.
Oh, we can't talk anymore. No, sorry about that.
We can't. Okay, how about Maria Butina?
Maria, I was just watching West Side Story.
Maria! That's right. Well, this is a different Maria, John. This is Maria Butina. And this is completely ridiculous, but I got to say it. Okay, first of all, who is she? She's a honeypot. She is a plant. She's a Russian lady who is, well, I guess she's got her charms. And she's charmed a number of people critical in the Russia collusion investigation being conducted by Mr. Mueller. And she's a person of interest. Mm. And it turns so the funniest thing I think I've heard, I'm not going to talk about it or what it is because now it's not that I have been subpoenaed, John. I want to take that off the table, okay? I have not been subpoenaed, so I'm not under any court orders to say or not say anything, but I'm going to stop my comments about Miss Butina at this point and just say one thing. Her name came up on one of our favorite shows, the Morning Joe Show.
Morning Joe.
Okay. And this great little guy, Matt Miller, he's a small, unassuming fellow, and so what he said was they were talking about how, you know, she compromises men. That's her job, is to lure them into some kind of compromising situation. Not that it would be sex or drugs or rock and roll, but it's something. And, you know, Matt Miller said, you know, he said, I work for the DOJ. I worked in a couple of different jobs in some different administrations. And, you know, when we'd go overseas, we'd get briefed. And part of that brief is, if an attractive woman comes up to you at the bar and starts talking to you, remember, she's not that into you, actually.
And particularly if she's got a foreign accent.
Yes! But I just thought that was so great the way he said it and the timing of it, everything. The whole panel, the Morning Joe panel, they just busted a gut. And he had a little smirk on his face. He's not a real demonstrative kind of guy, but... And he had a glint in his eye when he said it. It was extremely funny. So
you've been there, done that.
Yeah, Thursday. That was on Morning Joe Thursday. If you've got that taped or you want to go back and enjoy that, I recommend it highly. And now we're on to the full sponsor read, John. I'll let you go first.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, Divi has been so successful here. And what it is, it's a bike sharing program. And there's a variety of generations of this that's happened, but it's ones that use docking stations. So the program itself was in the idea that Mayor Daley came up with when he went over to Paris and saw a bike sharing program. He brought it back, didn't quite get it off the ground, and our current mayor, Rahm Emanuel, was able to do it. And
he can get anything off the ground.
Yeah, he can. He can get. And what he's done is it's, like I said, it's 600 different stations, 6,000 bikes all over. And it's amazing how much this is used. Now, the customers can be anywhere from a tourist, a visitor, that can get a one-day pass for $15 and then ride it around in intervals of up to 3 hours. And if they want more than that, they can pay for it. Or you can be a citizen of Chicago, sign up for a program, and with that, you get intervals of 45 minutes, and it's used sort of as a bike to bounce around the city, a bike to commute. So it's really taken off here, and I was able to visit a docking station down in Wrigleyville, near the Cubs ballpark, and also
great shot, by the way, great shot, John. Yeah.
And then another place, a merchandise mart,
in the show notes. Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's interesting is you take a look at this. There is a lot that goes into it because you've got to keep these bikes where the demand lies. So they have to what they call balance. So if they see a station, they know, for example, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they see a station down in the Loop. And they realize that people are going to use those bicycles as they leave work to go home. They're going to have to make sure that they're all there. In fact, the docking station, the picture that you see, those bikes are not in docking stations at this point. They're getting ready to put them in as the bikes start to get used. Now, you're kind of saying, well, gee, it sounds to me like you got to be careful. You could lose bicycles, this, that, whatever. But the fact is that if you do not return the bike, what's on your credit card, you're going to get slammed with a $1,200 charge.
$1,200 for a bike.
Yeah.
Is that a good price or not?
Oh, I mean, it's way over. These are utility bikes. You know, it's probably at least, there are no gear, urban, fairly large tire bicycles that as you pedal them, the lights go on. So they're safe. Safety in them. I think the most amazing thing about the program, any of these programs, is that the you figure your tourist comes in. Now, this tourist doesn't even have to be able to ride a bike. He probably doesn't know the Chicago very well, and he's not going to be wearing a helmet because he didn't put it in his suitcase. He's not traveling with his bike helmet. So you got people out there who don't know how to ride, who don't know where they're going, who don't have a helmet on, and guess what? There haven't been any fatalities yet.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Well, that is.
So, yeah, this is a great program. It's I think when you take a look at Mayor Daley, whose legacy here in Chicago has kind of crumbled away based upon some of his short thinking in terms of financing the budget, this is one thing that I think should be part of his legacy, and quite often we forget we should give him credit for starting it.
So. We should. He was kind of like numerically challenged, I think, when it came to the budget and stuff.
Yeah, he just didn't understand present value very well.
Well, you know, that's the thing about Rahm Emanuel. You know, he can just look at a ledger and the numbers will change because they're afraid of him.
You're absolutely right. He puts fear in the numbers.
He does. He can catch a bullet in his teeth. He can jump a tall building in a single bound. Yeah.
And the other thing is that he doesn't take prisoners.
No, he does not take prisoners. There aren't any.
No, when he's done, there's definitely not any.
Yeah, it's just dust.
Yes.
Yeah, dust in the wind.
So how about that program down there in Austin, Texas?
It's called B-Cycle.
Okay.
They put a dash between the B and the cycle. It's kind of like the I is silent, which is kind of cool. Now, the origin story of your bike program is that one of the Dailies went over to France and saw it and came back and said, why don't we do this, right?
Yes.
So our story is that, like most things in Austin that are good ideas, they come from Willie Nelson. I don't know if you knew this.
Very good.
Yeah. Willie was vaping some kind bud, they call it. It's really choice marijuana. And he came up with the idea, but he is not challenged by numbers. He's pretty good with numbers, actually. But he has a little problem with spelling. So that's how we ended up with the dash and all that. Not many people know this. So now our program is a little different than your program in that we're just getting it started. But the deal here, since many people refer to Austin as the People's Republic of Austin, because we are a very blue part of a very red state. Our program here is a little different in that if you want to do it for a year, if you want to sign up to our program for a year, you can also just do one at a time. Boom, boom, boom. Here's my credit card, kind of like you guys do. But there's another program too for $83 a year. You can have an hour bicycling once a day. All day, all year long, 365 days a year if you want.
That's pretty impressive.
It gets more impressive, my friend. If you are an old motherfucker like me, you can get it for $5.38 for an entire year of riding a bike 1 hour a day.
That's very impressive. I think even buy a bicycle?
Exactly. And now they're just getting started. So we're about one-tenth the size you are, but we are undergoing expansion. They're starting to put stations up farther out from the city, and we're hoping we'll get one over by the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center, which is very close to us, right? You remember driving by that.
Yes.
And so if we get one of those over there or in Circle C, which is also close to there, it's a big development that's really nice to drive around in, lots of trees, lots of shade. Which is the big deal in Texas, by the way. Shade. Well,
that's important.
Oh, you can't live without it. So anyways, B-Cycle, great program. Mary Jane and I went down and tried it out. We're members now. It costs us $10 and 76 cents for both of us. And we don't have to pay again until next year.
Sweet. Hey, yeah. One thing I've got to ask, and I do believe that you've got a little competition down there in Texas with respect to this bike sharing program. That might be cause the reason that it could be challenging for the program. And that is that horse sharing program you've got down there.
Yes. I'm glad you brought the horse sharing program up because some people believe that we are cowboys down here. Now, it's true. A lot of people wear cowboy boots. But once again, I'm going to go back to Willie Nelson and the man who comes up with all the good ideas for Austin. He was the man who pioneered the cowboy boot Reebok. You think I'm kidding? I know the place where he had them made. He takes cowboy boot uppers. That's what they're called. They're not drugs. These are the upper part of a cowboy boot and had them affixed to Reeboks. And that's what he wore. Still wears.
That's pretty impressive.
Like
very comfortable,
I said,
too.
Yeah.
Cowboy boots are comfortable already.
Well,
but that's
are they
nice.
Really? Some are, some aren't, John.
In fact, I got to be truthful. I'm just taking in two dots that are pretty far apart, and that is I'm kind of comparing them to combat boots.
Well,
that's as close as I've gotten.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you saw combat, so you're entitled. But here's the deal. No, some of them are very uncomfortable. The toes can get extremely pointed and steel tipped, I might add, and they're dangerous weapons. And the heels on back, man, I don't know who invented the heels for cowboy boots, but not only are they tall sometimes, but they like cut in so that, you know, if you're slightly inebriated or stoned and you lean back a little bit, you will fall over. And by the way, that's how Willie invented those other boots. They don't have that kind of heel.
Oh, God.
Yeah, full circle, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, well, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I've had a couple people make jokes about the sharing program down there in Austin and refer to this horse sharing program, and I set them straight. I told them, look, Austin is a contemporary city. It's not part of Texas. It's its own, like you said, republic.
It is.
And so if they're looking for a horse sharing program, they could go to other cities in Texas, like maybe Waco or Fort Worth or Abilene.
You know what?
Lubbock. And that, you know they'll what? Maybe find the horse sharing program there, but they're not going to find that horse sharing program in Austin.
Yeah, I don't care who these Yankee motherfuckers are. You tell them to bring their sweet little asses down here, and they will wake up in a bathtub full of ice with tattoos in places they can't imagine.
And
bring it.
Bring it! And they're going to They're going to find one of those Reebok boots up there, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, where the sun don't shine. It might even end up their ass. Mm. But in any case, we're burning daylight here, buddy. 34 minutes in, and we've got to talk about... Yeah, I know. So we're almost done.
We're on a roll.
Oh! Let's talk about Secret in Their Eyes. And I have to warn the audience, there's a spoiler, possibly a spoiler coming up from one of the brothers Daniels. And it's not Jeff. And it... That means it could be Jerry, that's me, or you, that's John.
Yes.
Now, some people call John John. It's not John. It's John.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll remember
J-O-N.
That.
J-O-N, I'm not gonna, J-O-H-N.
I am going to start pronouncing my name correctly, and I am challenged when it comes to pronunciation.
Really? Yes.
Okay. But I'm gonna take your advice and work on that.
Okay. All right. Gotta start somewhere. See how that goes. Yeah, indeed.
Might as well start your own name, you know. Got
to
start.
Yeah, good place to start. Yeah, not something you say a lot, hopefully. You know, people do talk about themselves in third person now. Trump does it. Bob Dole did it. Well, anyways. John.
Yes.
How did we get here? How did we get here? I saw the movie. That's how we got here. It took me a couple sittings to watch it because I got interrupted. But there's currently a movie on Netflix called Secret in Their Eyes. It's got Julia Roberts, not Julia Louise Dreyfus, who I like. But it's got, that Roberts woman, who I like, by the way. And also got that woman from Down Under who married Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman. And it's got Chiwetel Ejiofor, an incredible actor. Yeah, Kinky Boots, if you want to see one of his best offerings, where he plays a boot-wearing a cross-dresser, and he's incredible in it. English movie, by the way, and he is English. But he plays an American black person in this one, a detective, John? Yeah, he's a detective.
Investigator, yeah. Detective.
Investigator, yeah. And Nicole Kidman is a lawyer, ADA, assistant DA, making her way up the ladder. And Julia Roberts is, she's also an investigator. And then we've got a couple other characters in this. There's some great character actors in this. And I don't know the name of the actor who plays Bump, but I thought he was great.
Bump is good.
And then there's
Dean Norris.
Yeah, and the Weasel.
Name.
Oh, okay. Good actor. He's usually a creepy cop, but he was a great cop in this one.
Yes, he was.
And then the guy who played the creepy cop, oh, man, that guy's a weasel.
Oh, he's dirtbag all the way.
Wow, dirtbag all
Michael
the way.
Michael Kelly is his real name.
Sharon Begarn. So anyway, yeah, he's the guy, and good ensemble. Wouldn't you agree, John?
I would say that it's got a lot of star power to it, without a doubt.
But they were not acting like stars. They were acting like actors.
Yeah, yes. But the poll.
Possibly Nicole Kidman. I'm sorry to say that.
Miscast.
Well, How do you feel?
A little too light for an up and coming district attorney type. I would suspect that she, it doesn't quite carry it off. Just a little light.
Yeah.
Just a little bit light.
Light and the twists and turns that her character takes, which the character is supposed to take, but she does them. Which with such contrast that I got a little whiplash watching her character changes.
You could definitely hurt your back watching that.
Yeah, and plus, this has to be the whitest woman on the silver screen.
Well, I think that's for...
Wow, that was blinding. It was blinding.
I think does is that puts the unrequited love and how do you pronounce it?
Unrequited?
Unrequited love. It made that contrast. It kind of brings a little more distance to the relationship.
Yeah, Chiwetel and her were star-crossed lovers in this. Who didn't make love?
So,
tragic story. Now, look, before we go any further, when I said to John, have you seen this movie? He immediately said yes, and then I talked about some parts of it that he was unfamiliar with. And then he began to scratch his head. Notice I didn't say ass. He began to scratch his head and thought, maybe I didn't see this movie in its entirety. And why didn't you see the movie in its entirety?
Well,
John.
I will try to explain it. And I think that to me is what's the challenge of this whole exercise. Is that,
this is.
I started watching this movie. And I just said, wait a minute. I've seen this movie before. And this one is not quite – I wouldn't say as good, but it's a little different. And so what it really brings forth is the fact that the original movie, and by the way, there is that subtle difference in their title, which you told me not to do, but I'm pedantic and can't help it. One of them is Secret in Their Eyes, and the other one is The Secret. That's the difference.
Oh, God. What a different title.
Oh, it, and I knew that, that I would impress you with noting that. As in a CPA, these are the things I live for.
Okay, Mr. Live For, let's hear you say it in Argentine.
Okay, well, I
yeah, how about that?
That's what you thought
maybe,
I was going to do.
Maybe not.
Huh? I think
yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah.
El Secreto de Sos Ojoso. That's a kind of omelet, if I remember correctly. Oh, okay, okay, okay. You slammed me. You did it. You did it.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh. You couldn't say it because it had an omelet in it. Is that,
yeah.
it? Is that what
I
you
mean,
said?
There was an omelet in my eye and I couldn't read it. So that's the secret in my eyes. In their eyes, it's the omelet that's in my
eyes. It's the omelet. So it is an Argentine movie. And John, just go ahead, regale us with how great this movie is. And did it receive any awards, John?
First, let's talk a little bit about the fact we've got the...
I'm enabling you now.
Yeah, you are. Thank you. 2009 mm-hmm. is when the Argentine movie came out. It received the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. I happened to see this movie soon after it came out and just on HBO or one of the cable stations here and was just enthralled with it. It just had just a real... the story was a little bit different than the Hollywood remake. I think the story makes a difference. The one I saw. The other thing is that it has a great cinematography. The prosecuting the attorney one, the Nicole Kidman, is a much stronger part in the original. So the problem I ran into that I was clouded. I was very biased because
not only
that,
was there an omelet in your eye, but you had this other problem too.
Well, the problem
you're clouded.
Yeah,
you're clouded by the performance of the other Nicole Kidman,
yes.
who was Argentine,
right? And so that made a big difference. But as we started talking about it, we realized that I think if I would have seen the Hollywood version of this, I would have then been detracted from the original. So I don't think it makes a difference which order. But all of a sudden, you sort of start comparing it and say, "Well, this one doesn't have that." Oh, that's different. Oh, mm-hmm. That role isn't in this movie. So, but I think one of the what they did is, again, there's money behind everything, because what happened was that Hollywood took a look at this movie and said, "Ooh, original movie, $2 million budget, U.S. Gross, $20 million, another $20 million abroad." So the fact is that they saw it and say, you know, this movie might have some legs. So what they did is they took the plot,
some women with legs.
Yeah. And that was a big part of it. And they put a little, like I said, star power to it. And they changed the setting, obviously. Rather than Buenos Aires, they took L.A. Rather than taking soccer, they took baseball, which was okay with me. I could handle it.
You're getting close.
So
you're getting close to spoiling. Go ahead. Continue.
No, that's really...
Is that it? That's all you got to say?
Yeah, I would only say the one other thing, then you take a look at the comparison of the two movies, is that as
oh, here we go.
What I run into is a problem that I actually think are things in the movie, the remake, that weren't there. I actually, I incorrectly watch... I remember the remake and say, now, this part of it, and then you say, wait a minute, that wasn't there. Or,
yeah.
You mean there were...
Yeah.
I actually thought that there were two different roles in the remake. I assumed that was one role, because that's the way it was in the original.
And before you didn't watch the last part of the other, or even most of the new movie. You thought you'd seen it. Or you knew what the
plot
was.
That's what I did originally.
Right?
But here's the sad news: is I went back just less than a week ago and watched the remake, and still made this error.
Tell the truth, I made you watch it. Oh, excuse me. The producer made you watch it.
The producer made me watch it, and the hook was I didn't have to pay for it because the producer was nice enough to set me up with a Netflix account. So,
yeah, because
I
you
mean,
couldn't.
Because that's part of when you said, well, this would be a very, very good investment. I think we're going to have one of the stars of the podcast, one of the bros.
Star. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's
Go
not
ahead.
Let's not get into the star power
yeah,
of the podcast. Okay?
No, let's not. Please.
That would be embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, it would be. We rarely wear pants.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'd say, gee.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I just rolled out of bed and thank God I had the right shirt on.
Yeah, thank God. But you do that because you know you won't unless you wear it the day before.
Day before. Hey, listen, day I don't before. Take chances. I wear 2 days
the
before.
Week?
And you know what? When I get in the shower and still have that shirt on, it takes a long time to dry when it's on you.
It does. You know what you can do about that, though? You can take it off.
Oh.
Hang it up, and it'll dry really fast.
Now I know what the producer's good for giving me instructions like that. That's part of the producer's job description.
Yeah, it seems to be. Seems to be.
I would say that's about all I can really give you in terms of it makes a big difference. And of course, we've also got the book. And when you got down in these notes, book versus original movie versus current movie. Now, is that
that's a problem? This is an acknowledged problem.
Is this like
that we all have?
Wait a minute, I got a question. Is this the book or is this the classic comic book that you read?
What's the difference? Is there a difference
for you? I think you could run with either very well.
Yeah, I think I could too. But the problem is, just what we highlighted, our personal experience with this thing is that you get mixed up. Now, I'm a very visual person and you're a very numbers person. Mm-hmm. Okay. But visual guy, if he watches the movie first and then reads the book, when he's reading the book, he's seeing in his head the actors that were in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's very visual. I remember, you know, I saw The Godfather, I read The Godfather. And I was convinced after doing so that the movie had the line from Slotso, 5 bullets in his thick Sicilian hide, and he's still not dead. That's not in the movie. That's in the book.
Yes.
But I thought I could see in my mind the actor playing Slotso saying those words as Tom Hagen makes, you know, scurries into a cab and gets his ass back to the place in Long Island where he can not get killed.
Right. Sanctuary.
Good word. Good word, John. Good word. Word of the day, sanctuary.
Okay.
All right, so this is a problem. This is a problem. This is a problem. What do you do first? You read the book first, then see the movie? You see the movie first, read the book? You know, it's a problem. And in the world of prequels and sequels and comebacks and whatevers and remakes,
it
there's
going to
be an
better.
Old version. There's going to be an old version. There's going to be a new version. There's going to be an original. There's going to be a remake. In some cases, there are up to 3 remakes.
Yes, that's true.
So this is the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you cope with this, John? You listen to The Bro Show and you wear those fucking t-shirts every day.
Exactly.
That's how you do it.
And
that's how you do it.
Then you have another t-shirt on, which is sort of like a remake. But we don't have to worry because all the shirts are all good. None's better than one's not better than the other. And that's what we have going for us.
We do. We have complete equal opportunity there with those t-shirts. A couple of them are not as soft as others, but we won't talk about those. Anyway, so that's the problem. And with these multi-movie situations, and it led us to near disaster, but we recovered because we're about what, John? What are we about on The Bro Show?
We're about solutions.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's what we're all about. We came up with Corkball to solve. I forgot what problem to solve, but it was important.
But we'll come up with the problem. Sometimes
we'll backfeed that.
Sometimes what we do is we come up with the solution,
before
we come up with the problem.
Yeah, Corkball's one of those.
You know, that's one of the unique things that we bring to the show. We don't know, we have an unorthodox way of solving problems.
We're kind of moving backwards in time.
Yes.
Like Merlin, kind of. not that we're Merlins, but, you know, we're not wizards.
No.
No, we're just geniuses, I guess, or something.
Yeah, that could be a stretch, but I'm constantly working on it. I know it's a tough role, or it's a tough act to follow, but we're here to do it.
Tough. We're here to do it. Now, here's what you and I had two different reactions to this movie. Right. I have not seen the Argentine movie. You assured me it's fantastic. It did win an Academy Award, yeah. Best Foreign Film. And let's face it, Best Foreign Film, that's all I really watch the Academy Awards for. I just, you know, work on my computer and tell Mary Jane, tell me when the Best Foreign Film's coming up, because that's what I want to see.
Oh,
so
yeah. I like the way that you kind of slammed the doggone original. But by the way, if you're going to go that route, I'm going to let you know that, yeah, the Metacritic is 80 on the original, and it's like about 60 on the Hollywood remake, the watered-down version.
I don't think it's watered down.
The IMDb rating, the viewer rating, 8.2 for the original, 6 for the remake.
I'm just going to say one thing. You know, this is what this is. Hey. And people aren't going to like hearing it. John, you're not going to like hearing this. But, Robert De Niro in Raging Bull said it best. When his brother was all upset about something, and he kept saying, why are these people doing this? And, of course, Raging Bull guy himself, Jake LaMotta, said, they're miserable because their mothers take it up the ass.
Wow.
And that's what this scoring is all about. These goddamn critics are miserable because their mothers take it up the ass because the new movie is fantastic.
I totally agree.
It's got a weak link. It's got a weak link. It's Nicole Kidman. I will admit the white woman fucks it up a little bit. But it still is a great movie. Chiadle is wonderful. Julia Roberts, who many people consider to be a lightweight, she showed some real grit in this thing, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. What she did is she took her makeup off.
Oh, my God. Did everyone hear this? I hope everybody heard
Excuse me. She didn't put it on. She never had it on. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. To reduce her acting in this thing to a comment like that, are you miserable, John?
Hey, you know what's going on here? She also had a frumpy dress on, too.
Oh, man. That's it.
In other words, she's running with props here. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm sorry, but this was an important movie for me.
Hey, I'll tell you.
I realized it wasn't for you.
Just to bring closure to this part of the discussion, I will say this. The user, the IMDb viewer ratings are basically biased because of, they say, well, it isn't as good as the original. And as a result, they'll slam it. While other people say, this is really a stand by itself alone movie. And that's the way you've got to approach it. And that I will agree, and I think your point is well taken.
All right. Now, that said, I will also point out, without referring to Raging Bull anymore, because I know that upsets
you. I notice what you're doing is when I come up with points, all you do is you skirt the issue by throwing another, like The Godfather, like Raging Bull, like Jake LaMotta, Robert De Niro. Okay.
Wow.
Why don't we talk about these movies? By the way, the two different titles, which I will repeat again.
I gotta hear this. Go ahead, John.
Secret in Their Eyes and the original The Secret in Their Eyes. Okay.
Yeah. Are you done?
I'm finished. I've had it.
Yeah, I think you have. Okay, so yeah, there's a little difference. We're at 53 minutes and 8 seconds, and here we sit. And sad. That's all I have to say is sad, because this is a really good movie for this reason. Number one, there's plot twists toward the last third. In the last third of the movie, there are a quarter of the movie, would you say, John? A third? Quarter. Yeah. Last part of the movie. No, last third. Starting with the baseball stuff and the horses.
Mm-hmm.
This thing switches around so many times. You don't see it coming. Will you admit to that?
Hey, either one, and I think the second one does as good a job as the first, the original.
I agree.
There's more twists to this than a pretzel.
There are.
Yes.
And that's one of the distinguishing characteristics of this movie, no matter which version you're going to watch. But I'll just say this about the critics and original movies. They say it's not as good as the original for only one reason. They saw the original and you didn't.
Right. It's like they're just kind of flaunting the original.
Elitism. And that's why Democrats don't win elections. Elitism. Mm. And here it is. In full display. I'm not gonna dwell on it though. Not gonna name drop. But here's what I got out of the movie, and I'm gonna try and do it in less than 6 minutes. What I got out of the movie was, see, I've just recently lost somebody I love, my son.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Jane had that same experience, of course. Your nephew, and right. you were fond of Joe too. A big loss, huge loss. So in this movie, the character played by Julia Roberts loses her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't act, well, she kind of did lose her. She ended up in a dumpster and she
right.
found her.
Right.
So she was killed. Let's just say it. She was murdered and raped.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a terrible fucking thing to have happen. And the thing is, there's grief from the loss of someone you love, like a lover or a husband or a wife. And you've had some of that, John. You know what that feels yes. like. And then there's loss for somebody who is actually walking around with part of your blood flowing in them, in your gene pool, you know, dancing around on them. And when those people go away, it's like part of you goes away.
Right.
And that's not undifferent than losing, you know, your spouse or something too, is that you're incomplete. There's a hole in you. It's the same thing. And so what happens is, when you got grief like that, you have the initial grief, which is like day one grief, ground zero grief. And then you've got the continuing grief that goes forward. And you can just don't even say the C word when it comes to this, because there is no C word. There is no closure.
Oh.
But it does kind of decay. It has a half-life.
Mm.
So over time, you know, it does kind of get farther away from you in time, the shock of the initial thing. But then the actual ongoing grief takes on a life of its own. And that's what we saw in this movie. And one of the things that makes it so fucking interesting is that I just lost someone, and I know how I'm processing my grief. My whole reason for watching this movie was not to see Julia Roberts with no makeup on or a frumpy dress. It was so that I could see how this character processed grief.
Mm.
Now,
be careful. Be careful.
Why?
Because you're about ready to spoil.
Are you sure? You're not sure. No, you're just fearful. You're living in fear.
I'm just giving an alert for.
Giving a spoiler. Spoiler.
Yeah. Spoiler. Spoiler.
Warning. Yes. Spoiler warning.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, warning. Spoiler. Yes.
Okay. In any case, the way she deals with her grief is unique, by virtue of, in my opinion, her job. Now, I am a computer programmer. How am I going to process grief? By creating really weird variable names when I code. That's probably how I'm going to process grief. Maybe a lot of swearing, you know. So when someone reviews my code, they're going to see something that says the fucking current time instead of, you know, T-cur time. You know, I'll write out the whole thing and swear a lot in my code. That's my usual passive-aggressive bullshit way of dealing with things. But what if instead of your brother, John, your brother, Jerry, John, boy, that's hard to say. What if instead of being a software developer, what if I was a police person? In fact, not just a police person, but a detective, mm-hmm. an investigator.
Right.
I carried a gun. I investigated things. I was obsessive. I couldn't let go of things because I had to solve crimes. I was obsessed with it. What if I was that person? I would handle grief differently, wouldn't I?
You would. And I think that the deal is, and as I'm kind of treading water here very softly,
mm-hmm.
because
which brother will spoil the movie?
Well,
stay tuned. Go ahead, John. No pressure.
Okay. One of the things that for me is I can't bring, for a variety of reasons, the emotional investment that you have into it, because this movie, the original, which I saw, came out in 2009. I saw this in 2011. So as a result, timing doesn't work for me versus you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Okay, so that to me is one of the things. The other thing I think is interesting is that the Hollywood version combines the tragedy lies within the department, while
true.
In the original, the tragedy lies outside the department. And so as a result, it's almost like two stories. Well, they mm-hmm. combine the stories in the remake. And I don't think
they do that, but then they also create a whole different twist to the plot that isn't in the original. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, crash and burn. Be careful.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Are you?
Listen,
I'm close.
You
are. I talked about the dumpster. I don't think that's a spoiler alert.
Okay, all right. Relax. You're not there. Be careful. But be careful, but don't get too excited.
I'm going to have to vape. Go ahead. Continue.
But that the thing is that even there are differences in the movies in terms of some of the story content. But I find is that they actually take scenes though from one movie and they just almost mirror completely the same.
Yeah, identical. They do. Stairs. You're talking about how they jump stairs.
The jump stairs. The interrogation. Oh, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I gotta be careful.
Gotta be real careful because that's one hell of an interrogation.
Mm.
It's one of the best parts of the new movie, and it's one of the worst parts.
It's like Entrapment, right? With a capital E.
I would say capital T. I would say capital
T. Yeah, two T's.
Two T's. Oh, the brothers did it again! All right, we're getting close now. We're gonna stop. All right, if you haven't seen the fucking movie, watch the fucking movie because it's great. I don't care if you watch the Argentine version or the American version. Either way, great movie, fun, and if you've lost somebody, this is a good movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good movie to watch, I think. What do you think, John?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I went back and with a much better sense of, you know, with a much more open mind, I was able to really enjoy the second one. And I think I was able to enjoy it because I was the differences. I was looking for differences, which is kind of fun.
It is fun.
It's fun, but you got to be careful because all of a sudden you realize you screwed something up and you get them mixed up. But yeah, I recommend both of them. And I'm not going to even try to go with respect to say, watch this one before the other. I don't think that works.
No, it doesn't work.
Just just like whatever roll you the do. Dice, whatever, however it works.
Yeah. However you like to roll. And John, let's have a groaner. Let's close the show with one
of Vince's
groaners. That's a good
idea. Okay. The question is, when?
Right, hold on. Let me tee this up for you. This is a groaner from one of John's best and oldest friends, Vincent Anthony Lauder.
Yes.
A fine young Catholic boy.
Also known as the coach.
John calls him the coach because they have a weird sadomasochistic relationship. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Sorry, John. Geez, he spilled the beans on me there.
I did a little bit. A spoiler.
Yeah, a spoiler on this.
There's the spoiler.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Here it goes.
The question.
Let's do it.
When does sourdough bread rise? Do I need to repeat that?
Could you repeat that?
When does sourdough bread rise? That pregnant pause.
I have no fucking idea.
When you yeast expect it.
Oh, that is beautiful. Bravo! That's not even a groan. Let's hear it for Vincent Anthony Lauder. Is he the third or junior or something?
He's junior, but that applause is for the fact that I didn't mess up the joke, isn't it?
Oh, this is all about you for sure. You are a sick boy.
Sick puppy.
He's just just an enthusiastic boy.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Hey, listen, I got a couple ball games to watch today, so.
I think you do.
I'm going to get up to Wrigley.
Yeah, get up to Wrigley, have some fun.
Okay.
I'll be slaving away, and I'll catch
you on producer. I have full faith in you. You can handle it. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.